Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is DTC. My name is Joe. I'm here to guide us through this round robin discussion of all things DC sports. This is actually the second time in 13 podcasts that we are in the same place. The first time actually that all four of us are in the same place. We got a lot going on locally here in DC. We definitely have a lot going on in the national stage as well. And on top of that, we actually have a guest coming on from Atlanta. He's going to join us to talk about the Hawks series and the with the Wizards in depth. But before we get to that, Aaron Hernandez died this past week. I think we're going to talk about that, right? I don't know, RIP or not. I mean, I guess RIP, but I don't know.
Brain's gone to research. Story, that's right? All you're getting out of it.
El Clasico today was fantastic. Nobody, nobody can see LP here, but he's rocking a Barca shirt.
There's
the first one in a long time that's actually lived up to the hype. John Soriel somewhere out there is probably still doing jumping jacks in his house and backflips.
Hashtag Tadal Flips.
Hey, we're always... Sponsor money is good money.
Let's get local.
And obviously, the NFL draft is around the corner as well. But here in D.C., the Nats are streaking. The Wizards definitely struggled mightily against the Hawks yesterday in the Dirty South. And the Caps can't seem to win or lose a game in regulation. The Caps are actually live right now, so if you hear a lot of just
shouting
or screaming, good or bad, we apologize, but we are literally watching the game in real time here in our studio. We're also watching. We also got the Nats and Mets as well. So lots going on, but we're here. And I think. Well, one last thing. I want not to brag, but your boy went 11-2 in all competitions last week on bets. 11-2.
The record doesn't count okay. Unless you post your picks somewhere.
Fine, I'll post them this
You can
week.
Post them
I'll
in your head and go 11-2.
11-2.
Congratulations. 11-2. You went 11-2 okay. For yourself.
Thank
Good
you.
Job.
Thank you.
We don't condone betting, but we hit the DC trifecta on Wednesday night.
That was huge.
That was huge.
So what do you say? Should we start with the Wizards? That's the game that's freshest to me. I know the Caps are playing now and the Nats are playing now. So let's start with the Wizards. That game was ugly start to finish. I have no idea where the team didn't show up. It's like they never got on the plane.
Yeah, they came out flat. It took me maybe 15 seconds to text the group and being like, what the heck is happening? What team is this? I know LP quickly was like, don't worry, it's too early, blah, blah, blah. You could tell right away, like from tip off, that it was not the right Wizards team that came out. I mean, we just looked flat, and it happens all the time.
I think you hit the nail on the head in the last podcast when you said the NBA botched.
Say it louder! It's so sweet. Say it again. Joe was right.
Joe was right once.
I think that's the first time again. OP agreed
say
with
it
you.
Again.
That's the first that's time. The first that's the first time I will ever say that.
Thank you.
But the Wizards were basically off from Wednesday night until Saturday. They were up 2-0. They crushed the Wizards, game one, game two.
Crushed the Hawks.
The score was not predicative of the actual play of the game. The Wizards were just the far better team in both games. The bench kind of let them off in the first and second game. But the starters are just so much better than the Hawks team.
At one point yesterday, John Wall, I think, had 29 of the team's like 36 points or something.
He was the only one doing something.
I don't think you can say the rest had an effect. I mean, the Hawks had the same rest. And John Wall came and played out like a star. I'm wondering, are the theatrics getting into the head of the Wizards? Is it
what
kind of affecting them? It's the whole, you're a baby, Millsoft, John Wall and Schroeder. I mean, it's they're getting really into it.
So, like if Morris, Twitter headlines are getting to them, that's what you're saying.
I think so. I mean, I think they came out sloppy.
I didn't think they played
their game.
I think the Wizards came out cocky. They literally crushed them game one and two. They kind of let off the gas. Atlanta came in with more energy.
We said that last time too, though. We said that it was unlikely they were going to sweep, but I didn't see them getting blown out. I mean, that was just a bad game start to finish.
For a bad game from start to finish, it was still, I mean, the highest was a 23-point lead, and we kept cutting it back down to, 14 points, 13 points.
They beat them handily, more handily than the Wizards.
But what I'm saying is, if that's them beating us handily, right, like we said three podcasts ago, seven-game series, it's going to happen that the Wizards come out flat. It happens. It happened in all the regular season matchups, right? There's always one game against that one team where we just come out and not perform. I honestly don't think that they're going to come out again flat. It just, it's not the DNA of our team to go flat back to back against the same opponent.
Let me tell you what the issue with the Wizards is. In games 1 and 2, Bradley Beal, John Wall came balled out. They carried that team on their back. The rest of the team, Markieff had played, what, 16 minutes or something like that. He was in foul trouble. There was nobody else on the team. Otto was kind of, didn't do much. Kelly Oubre didn't do much. There was no one on the team that was able to help the John Wall and Bradley Beal. So John Wall, Bradley Beal carry that team. They did that game 1. They did that game 2. Bradley Beal didn't show up game 3. The Wizards got blown out.
I don't see it that way because Bradley Beal's been shooting real bad the entire series.
It's true.
That's nothing
he's
new.
Been shooting bad. But
Brandon Jennings.
He scored 30-plus points in the first and second game. Brandon Jennings scored 10 points in game 2.
Listen, he's getting points, but I've said this repeatedly. Brandon Jennings doesn't need to come on the court and score. He needs to continue to run the offense, continue to push the tempo, continue to get into the
problem,
paint.
The one problem with Brandon Jennings, though, is like game 2 is the perfect example. He came in, he hit the shots, he brought us essentially right back into it. The problem was when he came in earlier that game, it's his crap defense that put us in a bad position to start with. I mean, he's not that old to get beat by one move. And somebody take it straight to the basket.
But to say that it was Bradley Beal that dropped the ball yesterday.
Oh, I'm not saying it's Bradley Beal.
He hasn't played well.
I'm saying the rest of the team. Three games. The rest of the team.
He ends up with a ton of points. But, you know, the foul discrepancy between these teams, everything is a foul. The Wizards are in foul. They were in foul trouble halfway through game 2. They were in foul trouble.
Smith got fouled for. I don't even know what he got teed up for against. Was it Smith that got teed up? I don't even know what that was for last game.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, it wasn't Smith.
I'm almost positive it was Smith that got teed up.
I thought it was Wall.
John Wall definitely got teed up. He got a double technical. And Schroeder.
I don't know. I mean, I think that game definitely. I still think the Wizards are the better team, and I still expect them to beat the Hawks. They were gonna have a stinker. It was just a bad game.
It's hard to beat a team four straight games.
But how important does this make game 5? Game 4, I'm sorry. How important does this make?
It's huge.
2-2, 3-1 is just the biggest difference.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I thought definitely the Wizards were going to drop one of these two in Atlanta. But they got to come out tomorrow, and they got to just, play all out.
It's almost preferable that you lose
the earlier
the first
of the two.
Game away.
Right.
Yeah.
Try to win that second one and come home with a little bit of momentum. But still, nobody wants to get blown out. Like getting blown out that way was just
no. But I'll tell you what: if you go 3-1 coming back home for game five, I mean, momentum is all in your court.
So
right, there's
aside from momentum, was I the only one when I was out when I was watching the game? Scotty checked out of that game way before I was expecting him to. Like he pulled his guys out way earlier than I thought he was going to, and just. Called the game a scratch, right? Am I the only one that thought that?
Yeah, definitely.
No, even, absolutely. I felt it too. Even, I felt it after
even,
the auto
even
quarter.
Even when the bench brought it back into, within 12, there was, 8 minutes, four minutes in the fourth.
You spend so much energy to chop that down. It's really – playoff basketball is not –
I mean, look at what the Cavs did. Cavs, I mean, LeBron willed that team to victory.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is – like the whole thing of the playoffs is a marathon, it's not a sprint, blah, 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 but – if your bench does just enough to bring it in within 12 points, should you have not been, all right, all the starters get back in and see what you can do? I mean, 12, come on, it's 12 points.
No, but he called
the game a scratch so soon.
But the Pacers Cavs series is a good example of this, right? There's games where the Pacers lost by 2 or 3, but they really weren't that close. And then there was games where, the final score today was a good example of that, where the final score is 6 or 7 points, and it really was that close. It just got away from them down the stretch.
Mm-hmm. So you could just tell that game was just never within reach.
I don't think they ever had it. I think the mojo was off, and so be it.
Lit on
and
the basket, kinda, everything.
But I think there are some concerning things, not just that they lost the way they lost. Defense is not playing up to playoff-level defense.
You know what?
It's defense, but it's –
these guys are getting shredded.
Right.
In the driving kicks – go into the basket. Even the interior guys are supposed to be a strength. Gortat, Morris, all these guys are getting taken by Dwight.
Otto is getting shredded.
Gortat had I think he finished with 2 points.
But he's been playing defense against.
Because he retweets us.
Well, no,
he does retweet us. He loves us.
We got like 8,500 views on.
But
that,
you know, if you look at the box score, if you look at the box score, and this is something I'll bring up with our guests later on, the box score for Atlanta was not. I mean, it was balanced, but everyone had like 6 points, 8 points, with the exception of I think Schroeder and Millsap, who both had 20 plus. Like, it wasn't like their team isn't spectacular. Dwight Howard, I think, has had 11, 6, and 5 points. Like, they're not a dominating.
He's not doing anything spectacular.
No, not at all. I mean, they're still
handling just fine.
They're definitely still. The Wizards are still the better team. But
Dwight Howard is averaging 6 points in the series.
Yeah,
Gortat has been keeping him in check.
But look, this
is, you know, game two, Gortat scored I think 16 points or something like that. So he did his part. It's just it's got to be the role players around him.
This kind of feels like you know, we got lucky with the Hawks. Think about if we had played the sixth seed, Bucks.
Right.
That'd be a much harder matchup.
Much harder.
Even the Pacers with Paul George.
For
a harder matchup.
Yeah,
than the Hawks.
I wouldn't say
we're getting a great matchup.
I think the Bucks are even would
the,
give us.
I mean, even the Bulls really they took it to the Celtics first two games hard.
But look, this is. But I said on the last podcast this weird scheduling that the NBA it doesn't make sense for any fan of the Wizards or Hawks. And look at what happened today. The Cavs completed their sweep. I said on the last pod, by the time we record another show, the team that we care about or the other contest is going to be over, right?
Right.
Cavs are now done.
Boston's about to even it up.
Boston's going to even it up. But who the Wizards see next round?
Chicago Boston.
The winner of Chicago Boston.
Yeah. But Cleveland, like, this is to me just something that, like, I keep looking at this and I'm like, it doesn't make sense. Wizards and Hawks are the only ones that had 2 days off between all of their first three games. It makes no sense.
Do you think that has to do because, let's be honest, Hawks small market, Wizards relatively small market. I mean,
I don't think so. I think it has to do with the scheduling of the Verizon Center.
The Caps were away at Toronto. Yeah.
But it's also TV scheduling as well. I saw something like
is it maybe it was Valor football?
If the Warriors are playing on Wednesday,
we love Valor football.
I'm just saying it could have been the reason. Could have been the reason we didn't get to use the phone booth a little earlier.
If the Warriors play on Wednesday, the Wizards game's at 6 p.m. How many fans are we going to get at 6 p.m. in D.C. traffic?
Seven.
On a Saturday?
Wednesday.
Oh,
Wednesday. On Wednesday.
For the Wizards game?
Wizards game, 6 o'clock, Verizon Center.
People can't get to Verizon Wednesday at 7:30. There's no chance.
I went on.
When it's scheduled?
How hard was it for you on Wednesday?
If the Warriors are playing a late game,
it really depends on the Warriors. So if the Warriors don't close out, which I don't think they will, then the Wizards likely are going to be playing Game 5 at 6 p.m. on Wednesday.
No way.
Yeah.
You're saying that's coming from the NBA. The earliest game should be a 7 p.m. There's no way it'll be a 6 p.m.
We had a 6 p.m. Last week.
On a weekend.
No, we had a Tuesday.
Tuesday was a 7.
There was a 4 day game. Four game day.
Book of bets. No way.
Well, I mean,
how hard was it for you to go to game two on Wednesday, even though it was a 7 o'clock, 7:30 game?
It was a breeze.
All right.
We're going against traffic.
But traffic or not, the vast majority of people cannot get into that arena before 7:30. It just doesn't happen.
But even at 7:30 on Wednesday, at the beginning of the game, it was actually not 100% full. It took about halfway through the first quarter.
I'll tell you what, though.
But I'll tell you, that was the most energy I've ever seen. The most energy I've ever seen in a DC sporting event.
Did you steal me a towel?
No.
But I'll tell you, the difference.
Every seat was taken. There was no stealing of anything.
Does your wife really need her own towel?
But it was night and day. Like, watching the Caps.
They're both mine.
Watching the Caps play at Verizon versus the Wizards, it was night and day.
The Caps don't have to.
It's incredible.
I'm telling you. That picture from game one of the Caps in the phone booth, when it was just red, like it looked like the pits of hell of how red that place looked, I still love that picture. That's my favorite picture.
This might be a hockey town.
Well, I think whichever team gets a little bit further is going to win over the vast majority of the
hockey. Are tickets cheaper for the Caps?
No, I don't think so.
They're definitely more expensive than the Wizards.
You know, the problem is you put in a lot more seats for a Wizards game than a Caps game, right?
No, the Wizards have more seats. The Wizards have more seats.
That's what I'm saying.
You put in a lot more seats.
It's the floor seats, basically.
Yeah. It's the expensive seats.
Behind the basket.
And behind the coach.
Do you want to tease who's calling us in a couple minutes?
We can.
Know to stay on.
Yeah, we can. Well, I'll let Paul do it. He's got all the info. We got a guest from Atlanta that's going to be calling in to discuss this series a little bit more in depth and give us the Hawks side of the equation. Actually, that's good enough for a tease. We'll come back to it. Can we jump into Caps real quick?
Let's jump into Caps.
Okay. What's the score of the Caps game?
We are podcasting live during the Caps game. 0-0 going into, I believe, starting the third period. So this team is completely incapable of winning or losing in regulation. And if you jump on Twitter during any of these, any time the Capitals are playing, it's incredible. Everyone says the same thing. It's like, why can't they just put away a team or just lose? Like, so why this constant comeback and agony of overtime?
Seriously.
It's horrible every time. And they're on pace to do it again tonight.
The biggest thing is we easily have the best team on the ice, except Trotz is out coaching himself and Babcock is just out coaching Trotz completely, right? So we have the best front line, right? We had it all season, and then come to the playoffs, you're resting Ovi a little bit. You're not giving him all the minutes that he should be getting. He's the best scorer in the NHL right now. He's not getting the ice time he should be getting. You're mixing up the lines. You're essentially throwing off the chemistry. It would be like if Brooks came in and just changed up your starting five, you're going to be off. It's a natural thing to happen. But Babcock is showing that he is by far making it's a chess match. Like, if you pay attention from game 1, 2, 3 on, it is a true chess match about who he's putting in which lineup and just taking it to us. And like Joe said, again, right again.
Oh, say it louder. So right again. Sweet.
They are the younger team. They are the younger team. They have the speed. They have the endurance. And when you take that and then you shuffle up your lineup to something that we're not expecting, that's when you're going to get us on game 2 with sloppy defense and passes in front of the net that get intercepted and all that stuff. I mean, we're still the better team. We can still take it to them right now. And I'm convinced that we will, because Trotz is finally getting out of his own way, right? So you look at last week, like your big guys, Ovi, all of them, they capitalized. They did what they should have done because they were on the ice more.
Okay, hold on. But who's the MVP for the Caps right now as we sit here about to start the third period of game?
It's got to be Justin Williams.
Tom Wilson.
It's Tom Wilson.
Justin Williams.
No, dude, it's Tom Wilson. That save.
Tom Wilson.
I'm not a hockey guy.
That was a series defining save.
I got
save.
Out of my seat. Absolutely. And was jumping up and down and screaming at my TV. And my wife came down. She's like, what is going on? I was like, I've never seen anyone else from like what it feels like 50 yards away slide into the goal and somehow keep that puck out.
All right.
I've never seen anything like it. I don't think I'll ever see anything like it again. The guy slid into the net. Somehow stopped the puck from going all the way across the line. I've never seen anything like it.
It was a series-defining save.
Absolutely.
It was amazing.
Absolutely. And even now, like, they're... I don't know why this team just can't... Just win or lose in regulation. Why does everything have to go to overtime? Even now, we're into the third frame here, and they're 1-1
It's been a thing with this team. It's not just this season. It's been last season, the season before. This team just takes games into overtime. This is a 1-versus-8 series. This game, this series should be over by now.
So why? We just saw the Preds. We just saw an 8-1. It happens. It happens.
Playoff hockey is a completely different beast. And I'll tell you what, if you look at Holtby, he just needs to play tighter in the net, right? That's all that's happening right now. He's not playing tight the way he did all season long. He needs to play tighter in the net. It's 1-1 right now. Third period's about to end. Nobody's paying attention to anything except we're all watching this stream right now. It's another game. It's another nail biter. But I'll tell you what.
Can they win the series if they lose this game? I don't mean to cut you off.
Think about it. It's a game seven again with the Capitals.
Yeah, I mean,
Verizon Center.
Last time you said, hey, I have all this confidence in the Caps winning a game seven.
I picked the Caps to win game seven.
Sadly, I will say.
You got cheese in your beard.
Hey, it's for later. It's my flavor saver.
I got you.
I'll tell you what. If it goes to game seven back home, I want to say we take it. But it happened before.
Guys,
right?
We're going to win game six.
We didn't do it.
We're going to win game six tonight. There's going to be no game seven.
I like what Chad said. He's like, if you could push a team off the cliff, you do it. I think it's going to happen today. I think.
Did you hear what Babcock was saying as he was leaving the Verizon Center?
See you soon.
He was shaking hands with all the staff, saying, I'll be back here. I mean, that's the kind of bravado that at you know other teams you have want we don't coach. Have. Yeah,
and you want your coach.
Why are we a mental asylum with this team? Like it's
people. That's all DC teams. No DC team has swag from top to bottom.
The Wiz do.
No,
the Wiz do
from top to bottom,
for the most part.
Yeah, the Wiz do.
They actually have too much.
What about too Nets? Much. What about the Nets? Do they have it from top to bottom?
No, 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 no. It's terrifying. They get in the playoffs. It's same old Nets. And yeah. I've been in that stadium when bottom of the eighth and we're tied up and everyone's terrified. So it's a mental thing with this.
I mean,
this
we got 4-4 right now. I mean,
it's a city it's thing. Hard to watch. If you think
it's
about
hard
it,
hard to watch.
It's hard to watch.
Every team that we've had has an issue with fans. From other stadium, from other teams being there, and then
not
every
so much
team
the
that
Caps,
we
though.
Not the Nats.
The Caps haven't. The Nats have.
The Nats Harper talked about it last year. The Mets come
the Mets
in.
Complaining
they
about it.
They
do that.
On they're all like, they're all unemployed, and they give them free bus rides. That's different. It's different.
That's man, we're on air, right? So do we have any listeners in New York? If we don't, then that's some low class people. Okay,
I've seen them for Carmelo at the strip club.
So we're heading to overtime. Game 6.
Why can't we just win? It's so nerve-wracking. Okay, let's just go quickly here. Are the Caps still going to win the series?
Yes.
I say yes, they win tonight. They win in overtime within the first 5 minutes.
I need to knock on some kind of wood. What kind of curse is that?
Throw out and stuff.
This is the jinxiest.
If the Caps don't win tonight, they don't win the series.
I was going to say the same thing. If they don't put it away tonight... We're done.
I was gonna say we're gonna win
the Caps
tonight.
In seven,
I was gonna say we're gonna
but you're
win
an
tonight.
Idiot for picking them in
and
seven.
LP just destroyed every
there's,
chance we
there's
had.
There's no reason to pick them in
LP,
seven.
LP, if we lose tonight, I'm gonna give everyone the email address of LP, and you can destroy him and torch him and yell at him.
Yeah.
He just screwed.
LP,
the Caps
please
over.
Do.
LP,
please do.
Caps
LP,
over.
Let me ask you. Nats at nubs.com.
Everyone, get on Periscope in 3 days, and you're just going to see FP punch LP in the face for what he just did.
Let me ask you. So am I the curse? I've been doing this for the past 30 years, just every game? Is that what it is?
Well, look. You of all people know in DC sports.
No, that's a Redskins.
Like that.
Redskins
no,
are superstition. Every other team,
DC
there's no superstition.
No, that's a DC thing.
Well, the DC curse that Kornheiser actually coined was specific to the Wizards.
Les Boulez.
Right? It's specific to the Wizards. It doesn't really apply to everyone else, but... Just in recent years here, we have the Nats postseason fails.
The whole
Cavs,
reason the whole reason the four of us fail. Are sitting in a room on a Sunday night is because every team
I enjoy
gets
your
cursed.
Company, okay? That is not true at all.
Yeah, I'm here for the snacks that Joe brought us.
I think we should rename the curse. See, like you said, it's a bullets curse. The bullets don't even exist anymore.
No, but
I think we should call it the curse of Dan Snyder.
There's the curse of the Caps, the curse of the Nats, and
it's Snyder.
And then there's people like Steve who think Snyder is the cause for everything that's bad in DC. He's the cause for traffic. He's the cause for everything.
Look, we were in a press. We were in the press box at the Verizon Center. Okay, a little shout out to the Valor. Thank you very much. We were sitting there, and a guy stopped us, and he heard our podcast. He heard the name of our podcast, and he said, "Let me ask you, what do you define as the curse?" And I think it was either me or you. I think it was me. I said, I believe it to be Dan Snyder. And he said, that's exactly what I was thinking.
He actually said, he took it a step further and said that it's cursed because the team name is offensive. And that's why. Yeah, that's what I told him. I said,
he lost it.
How did you get in the
press box?
Does
he work for Washington Post?
He might be. I don't know. They're all hacks over there. Well, who knows?
The curse, I'll tell you what, if the Redskins didn't suck as much as they suck, the curse wouldn't hurt as much when the big teams go down.
Well, look, we're still watching this game. It's intermission. Let's change
gears.
Let's talk some Nets.
Let's bring it up.
Six in a row.
Stevie wants to
talk. Six in a row has been amazing.
They're playing on ESPN tonight.
Right now, 4-3, top of the sixth. This Nats team over the past six games has been on fire. Bryce Harper, hello 2015. Okay, this is really exciting. This guy is...
Just
batting.
For those keeping record, that's another thing that I said at the last podcast.
First of all,
of you now have said Joe was right about
this.
What did you say?
I said he didn't have a single multi-homer game last season, and he's reverted back to his 2015.
First of all,
what I said last podcast.
Joe, you've said so many things. You've said so many things. Of course, you're going to be right on 2% of them.
Look, I'm going to take a screenshot of the OneNote that says Bryce Harper back in 2015 shape.
Why do you use OneNote?
Yeah, OneNote.
Shout out Microsoft for your amazing product. I will show you the screenshot, and I'll show you whose initials are next to that.
Post-it wants to
sponsor FP's initials are next to that.
We'll snail mail each other Post-it notes, okay?
Let's get back to it. Nats are hitting on all cylinders right now. Daniel Murphy hit a grand slam tonight. Ryan Zimmerman is playing unbelievable. Okay, Ryan
Zimmerman. I also said that he was going to be doing good, and you guys said.
You know why he's so key? Okay, let me teach some of these amateur baseball players. Is Zimmerman playing so well allows him to hit in the four spot, which moves Murphy to the five spot, which breaks up the lefty, lefty, lefty. Okay, that's a huge thing in baseball. So right now, they're hitting well. Starting pitching's been amazing since the beginning of the season, and we fixed the bullpen. Did I not say that this problem was going to get fixed very quickly? Dusty fixed it. Sean Kelly should have been the closer all along. He tried Trinan. No big deal. 10 games, not a big deal. Now we're back on Sean Kelly with Coda Glover as a replacement because Kelly can't go back-to-back. This has been great. Bullpen's been lights out. This team right now is they swept the Braves. They're two up they're on the Mets. Yeah, hopefully they're about to sweep the Mets. This has been, I mean, this is their longest road trip of the season. They're 5-0 starting it off.
Yeah, but the Braves are garbage.
Braves are garbage, no,
but it's still an away game. I mean,
yeah,
it's
still division. Division team?
Sure, it's still division team.
I think it's just it's still really early, though. It's still, it's April. It's April.
You got to be happy with the way they started the season. And to be honest, it's not fair. I got into a fight with John Feinstein. I don't know if I told you guys. I got into a Twitter fight with John Feinstein because he was saying, oh, you know, it looks like the Caps and Wiz and all, to see the coverage, it looks like everyone's got a ticker tape parade lined up. And I said, so you can't say the gloom and doom stuff when we're doing bad and then get annoyed when we celebrate when we're doing good. So you can't discredit the Nats' great start, because if they were not playing well, we'd be crushing them right now. So let's give them credit, 12-5, great start to the season.
But it doesn't change anything, right? Our outlook was always, we expect this team to compete.
Yeah.
Right? We expect them to win.
The top five team.
I think FP had him as a four, right?
ESPN, we discussed, got him like three.
Yeah, I think in the power rankings, actually, they had him at four again this past week. So, I mean, they're doing what we expected them to do, right? Which is come out and score a ton of runs. And if they can get their defense in order, primarily their pitching, they'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, look, but the cool thing is Cubs are struggling right now. Two best teams in the major leagues are down 95. The Nats and the Orioles and Baltimore. Right now. So, could you imagine a Beltway series for the
we had World one in series?
We had one in New York.
2000? Was it 2000?
What?
When did they play each other?
They play each other in the regular season.
No, when did they play each other in the World Series?
The Nats?
No, the Mets.
Oh, the Mets and Yankees. Yankees. No, it was like 2009.
Yeah. What do you mean, you say we're talking about Baltimore and the Nats.
Subway series.
Yeah. Okay, he's talking about 95, Baltimore and the Nats. Where are you?
The Subway where are you at? Series. Are you familiar with the term Subway Series?
Did you say
first
Subway
of all,
Series?
In DC, it's a Beltway Series.
Did you say Subway Series?
He said Subway Series.
Check the
thing. Yeah, he said Subway Series. Subway Series is synonymous with the Mets and the Yankees. That's the only Subway Series. I guess maybe the White Sox and the Cubs? Is there another Subway Series?
There is, actually. The White Sox and the Cubs. I don't think they've ever played.
But they don't ever call each other the Subway Series, to me, is always synonymous with those two teams.
Moving
more
on.
More importantly,
it doesn't matter. Okay, fine.
The Nats are doing good. It's April. It's early. Let's see what happens. Next week, we have the draft coming up.
And the release of the schedule last week.
The release of the schedule was this week.
And maybe the first time in three podcasts is even worth talking about anything Redskins related.
Tomorrow, Scott Campbell hits the podium doing the Redskins pre-draft press conference.
Who is that?
Scott Campbell, pro executive.
Exactly. We know who he is not.
Scouting.
You know who he's not. That's what it matters.
Whatever.
Hey, et cetera. We said Scott would be doing the pre-draft press conference. Scott is doing it.
I expect to hear that.
Bruce Allen is not doing it.
That's all that matters. I don't. You could go up there.
I could go up there.
As long as Bruce isn't going up there.
Fair enough.
I think Joe going up there is probably worse than Bruce going up there. But that's just my opinion.
So what do we do now? I mean, the Caps. The Caps obviously are hogging all of our attention right now. Overtime is about to get started. What do we do now?
We could tap into the Skins, right? Go draft and talk about the schedule, or save that for another day?
I don't know.
We'll save it for another day.
We could do it another time. Let's end here and focus our attention on the Caps. If the Caps lose, we're coming back on the air.
With a periscope of FP punching LP straight in the face.
Yeah, if they win, then we all go home and celebrate. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
LP, where can they find our stuff?
Find us on Twitter at Defeat the Curse, on Instagram at Defeating the Curse, and our blog at DefeatingTheCurse.com.
We are out.